Please be seated. This is the time and the place set in the matter of the discipline of John A. Stilo, an attorney at law. The court would note the personal appearance of Mr. Robert Freeburg, counsel for the State Bar Disciplinary Board. Court would also note there's been no appearance by Mr. Stilo. Clerk, have you had any communications with Mr. Stilo today?
No, we have not.
Very well. Then we will proceed, since the burden of proof is upon you, Mr. Freeburg, even though you don't have an opponent, you have 20 minutes.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, this is a first for me. Someone always shows up when we have one of these hearings, and so I'm a little taken aback about what I ought to do, but let me say that the disciplinary board has made extraordinary efforts to get responses from and to try to help or guide John Stilo in getting himself squared away so that he can practice law in a responsible and ethical manner. After this matter was set for hearing, we received two additional complaints, which I then filed with the court as a supplement to the board's original findings. Now that, of course, was done with the board's approval. Yesterday morning, before I left my office to come out here, I polled the board with regard to their recommendation for a public censure. And unanimously, they said that I should request something more substantial, at least a 6-month suspension. I don't know what they would have said if they would have known that he didn't show up today.
Is there a due process question if we impose something more severe than what we noticed this hearing for?
I've thought about that, Justice, and I don't see that. I mean, under the rules, all of the formal discipline that is imposed on a lawyer to protect the public is at the discretion of the Supreme Court, as I read it.
Well, that's what we did in Eicher.
Pardon me?
In Eicher, the recommendation I remember from the board, I believe, was public censure, and we entered a suspension. I think in Reynolds, we've said in previous cases that it's a de novo review by this court, and we give no deference to the board.
Right, correct. So I understand what you're asking about. I don't see that as an issue here. Particularly because, as I said at the outset, we have just bent over backwards to be sure he gets a chance to state his position to do all this. And frankly, when I saw his response to our recommendation for public censure, I thought that was a big mistake on his part.
He requests, in essence, appointment of a referee.
Yes.
Has he responded at all to the two new complaints?
No.
He received notice of them?
He received notice.
He did, yeah. Service. There is an error in the certificate of service because the word supplement didn't get put in there at the bottom of the submission, but we mailed those out to him. I've called him, so has the clerk's office. I've sent him emails. He just doesn't respond. And that's kind of been his history, as you would know if you've looked at the...
There's reference in the record to his relationship with persons who could possibly mentor him. Is that ongoing? Does he have an active mentor of any type to assist him?
No. Frankly, He's not credible. What he says isn't what he does. We've tried time and again to get some written confirmation about his trust account, about the original complaint from Mr. DeYoung. It's never appeared, you know. As Tom Barnett said at the first hearing, when we finally got him there, well, I bet he put that money in his pocket. I don't know if that's true, but it made sense to me. So,
What's the last contact, either, I mean, actual communication that you've had, you yourself or a member of the board has had with Mr. Stilo? Have you had any contact since he showed up at that last hearing?
No.
That's the last one.
My knowledge, that's the last one. You know, and we gave him chances to provide information. We got the record open. He didn't do it. I even sent him pages out of the transcript to say, here's what you agreed to do. Do it. And he didn't. So
I'm really
suspicious that a lot of what he had to say was not forthright.
Well, it certainly concerned Judge Percy Palmer on her supplemental complaint.
Yeah.
So if the court were to accept your recommendation for a suspension, are you asking for any other authority in terms of, you know, his office situation, contacting clients, anything like that?
Well, under the rules, there is a procedure in the statutes. There's a 30 days, as I recall, for the lawyer to notify the clients, other counsel, and so on. But from what I know of his practice, it shouldn't take any longer than 30 days, because I think he's doing mostly court appointments, but my impression from talking to some of the judges is he's not getting very many.
Well, and he's also accepted retainers that clients now are saying he is not accounting for. How do we manage? How do we do that? Do we issue an order saying he should immediately disclose all the money he's received and his trust account?
Yeah, you certainly can do that, but it might be a futile effort, but I don't know that. That's
Mr. Freeberg, if I'm reading this record correctly, there is some skepticism that he even has a trust account.
Right. I asked this morning over at the bar office. He has not filed a compliance certificate for 2018. He did file one 2017 after the board had cajoled him a few times to get that done. And I didn't look at that, but apparently that got done. But he has not filed for 2018. So,
but I think he even suggested at one of the earlier hearings that he would, for lack of a better term, swear off accepting any retainers, and that he was done with that, although he still left open the possibility of accepting criminal work on a private basis, which I think Ms. Lammer or Ms. Bogart thought would land you right back at a trust account situation. But in any event, it seemed like he didn't have one or was not utilizing one.
He may have had, originally he said he had an IOTA account at Wells Fargo, and he may have, but we never saw any verification of that. And he never followed up, so.
I have a question, and I see Mr. Fergal in the audience. Mr. Fergal, do you know, has this gentleman paid his bar dues for this year?
Your Honor, I can find out easily for you if he has, but I do not have individual knowledge about that.
All right. Thank you. It's not necessary. I was just curious. Any other questions from the bench for Mr. Freeberg? Or Mr. Freeberg, do you have anything further you wish to say to the court?
No, I just, I said to him, I think at the last hearing, that somebody told me years ago that obfuscation and delay were the best defenses for when you're in trouble, and he was a master at it. You know, as I go back through the record, we probably should have acted sooner than we did, but you always kind of give people like that a little benefit of the doubt who are obviously not functioning very well. So that's all I have, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Freeberger. Appreciate you coming this distance in such lovely weather.
It is beautiful in Pierre as it usually is.
Travel safely.
Okay. Court will be in recess till 11 o'clock, and then we'll do the rules hearing.